right, if you will, please, let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And with the addition of our new study in Mark, we've changed the lineup just a little bit, and God willing, we're going to be studying the rest of 1 Peter on Sunday evenings, and then, as the Lord allows, go right on into 2 Peter. So tonight we're in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to focus our attention on verses 5 through 7. So as you locate that place in your Bibles, we'll read our text. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day that you gave to us. Thank you for the sunshine and, again, just another change in weather. We thank you for the coolness and the dry weather. Thank you for everyone that's come to church tonight. And Lord, thank you for ministering to our hearts through the music. We ask that you bless our time in your word. We ask for the help and guidance of your Spirit, that you would just open our eyes to the truth of your word. And Lord, what you would say to each and every one of us in our hearts, may we hear your word clearly and respond with obedience and faith. And may you be honored, Lord, by all that's said and done throughout the remainder of this church service, throughout the whole of this day as we begin another week with you, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In times of pressure, in times of persecution, it's vital not only that there be stable spiritual leadership within local churches, but also that there be submissive spiritual mindedness among the members. Those who willingly submit to their spiritual leaders both relieve themselves and those over them of many unnecessary anxieties or cares, and they also open the door for God's mighty hand to work in their behalf. God can command his blessing where there is unity, which is built upon or supported by submission. Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment that ran down upon Aaron's beard. It's as the dew of Hermon." And then the Lord says this, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing." God can command a blessing where there is unity among the brethren. And one of the keys to unity among the brethren is submission. Now, in the immediately preceding portion of this letter, as we saw in our last study in 1 Peter, Peter gave some words of encouragement to the elders or to the shepherds in the church. They're in a time of pressure, a time of fiery trial. And so he begins with the church leadership, the elders. He encourages them to be faithful with their responsibilities. And now, having encouraged the elders or the shepherds in the church, Peter, in verse 5, now likewise is going to address the younger or the sheep within the church. The term younger can be applied to younger people submitting to those older in the church, but within this context, it specifically refers to members of the church congregation submitting to the elder or the pastor of the church, who in most cases would have been older physically many times, but at least older in the Lord, having been saved for a longer time, having known the Lord for a longer time. Again, John MacArthur made this observation. He said, "Peter addressed the church leaders. Now he turns to the congregation. As shepherds submit to the chief shepherd, so the flock submits to their shepherds." He says, "This instruction is needed in the most important entity on earth, Christ's own church." And so tonight for our message, we're going to explore this topic together. Having considered the thought of encouragement for faithful shepherds, we're going to consider encouragement for submissive sheep. encouragement for a submissive sheep. And what we learn from our text tonight is going to encourage each and every one of us who are Jesus' sheep. If we've heard his voice and we've turned to him and he's given us eternal life, we are his sheep. And if we're his sheep, then we are to be encouraged then to show Christ-like submission to those over us. And as we do this, it's going to enable us to walk closely with God. It's going to protect the unity of the church, particularly in times of pressure and fiery persecution. And we're also going to see how, as we do this, it will relieve us of a lot of unnecessary burdens or cares. So let's note from our text tonight three truths regarding this encouragement for submissive sheep. We'll note, first of all, the commanding of submission. Secondly, the clothing for submission. And then we'll finish with the casting in submission. So if you'll look with me, please, at verse 5, we see this thought, the commanding of submission. Peter says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." So submission, the word literally means to arrange yourself under, to put yourself under. It implies obedience. All these things, submission, arranging ourselves under, or obeying our spiritual leaders, is commanded for believers. Now, this was not just Peter's idea. Peter, in verse 1, acknowledges, hey, I'm also an elder. And it's not like he thought, okay, I'm an elder, so I'll make up this idea. No, this was not just Peter's idea. This is the overall teaching of Scripture. It is throughout the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16, 15 and 16. "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such." And Hebrews 13, 17 really is the most explicit. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So there is a command for submission. Just as, again, just as the under-shepherd is to submit to the chief shepherd, so the sheep within the church are to submit to the shepherd, or the elder, the pastor of the church. Now, as you note there in verse 5, Peter goes on to say this, "Yea, all of you be subject one to another." To one degree or another, the command to submit applies to every single believer. It applies to those who are in authority as well as those under authority. And the fact is, everyone is under someone's authority. And we're not prepared to lead others if we are not first in submission to the authorities over us. Submission is expected for all the Lord's sheep, and every child of God is one of God's sheep. So Peter says, hey, submit yourselves one to another. We are to submit ourselves in every relationship in which we are in the subjective role. We could go back to earlier portions of this letter, and we see that. If you look back at chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, their citizens were taught or instructed or even commanded to submit to government authorities. Chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, servants or employees were instructed to submit to masters or employers. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, wives were commanded to submit to their own husbands. So at some point, this command applies to every one of us. Any U.S. citizens here tonight? Okay, a few of us. Yeah, we are called to submit to our governmental authority. Okay? Any married folks here? Okay. I won't go too far with this, but anyhow. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This is all one sentence. It's kind of maybe a run-on, I don't know. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You say, that's a Spirit-filled believer. I mean, they're singing, they're speaking to themselves in psalms and hymns. They're giving thanks always. Well, the verse doesn't end there. Verses don't end there. And then it says this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, then the period comes. So a spirit-filled believer will submit themselves in every relationship where they're in the subjective role. See, we can sing songs, we can say a lot of spiritual things, we can give thanks, but if we're not submitted in any relationship where we're in the subjective role, we're not a spirit-filled believer. And if you read on in the remainder of that letter, Paul explains precisely what he's saying when he says, submit yourselves one to another. He gives that general command. It's understood. It's submit yourselves in every relationship where you're in this subjective role. And what does he do? He says, children, obey your parents. Wives, submit to your husbands. Servants, obey your masters. Church, submit to Christ. So this is a command for every one of us. And whether or not we are in submission to those that are over us in any given relationship is evidence of whether or not we're spirit-filled. So there's the commanding of submission. Secondly, the clothing for submission. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. So not only does submission require our being yielded to the Holy Spirit, but it also requires our being clothed in humility. Humility is to submission what pride is to rebellion. To be humble, as others have observed, is not necessarily to think too highly or too lowly of oneself, but to think of oneself. Okay. Humility is not thinking of ourselves. It's forgetting about ourselves. Now, Peter says, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to clothe yourself in humility. You're going to have to put on humility, humbleness, just as you would put on clothing. Okay, now, none of us is a Greek scholar here tonight, at least I don't think so. But the words be clothed with humility are in the middle voice and imperative mood. So that makes a lot of sense. But here's what it means. It means, first of all, we are commanded to do this, imperative, and it's the middle voice. It's something that we do to ourselves. God's saying, in effect, I'm not going to dress you this way. You have to choose for yourself to put on humility. Now, I'll help you. I hope you get dressed, but you've got to choose to put on humble submission. So we've got to choose to put on the humble clothing of a servant's apron or towel, the attitude of submission and service. Again, this was the example set by the chief shepherd to whom all the sheep are called to submit themselves. John chapter 13. Scripture says, Jesus, knowing that he had come from the Father and that the Father had given everything into his hands, he laid aside his garments and he girded himself with a towel and he got down on his knees and he washed his disciples' smelly, stinky, dirty feet. And when he had finished, he got up and he said, fellas, you see what I've done here? He said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. But if I, your master and Lord, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I've set an example for you to follow. Now, some take that literally, and some churches observe foot washings, and maybe that wouldn't be a bad practice. But I think that the overall point that Jesus was making is, men, if I, the greatest of the greatest, could humble myself and clothe myself in humility, clothe myself with a towel, and get down and serve you, then you need to be willing to put on that towel as well. The world has this saying, the man who dies with the most toys wins. No, that's not true. But I heard someone put this spin on it. It's the man who dies with the dirtiest towel that wins. The man with the dirtiest towel wins. That means the one who serves. That's the mind of Christ. Though he was in the form of God, he didn't think it robbery. It wasn't like he was just grasping after position. But he laid that aside. He took upon him he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The clothing for submission. As you submit yourself, you'll be able to do this as you first dress in humility. As we read on in verse 5, Peter goes on to say this. It gives some motivation for why we ought to submit ourselves and why we ought to put on the clothing of humility. First of all, he starts with a negative. He says, "For God resisteth the proud." In other words, if we don't put on humility, if we refuse to clothe ourselves in humility, submit to those whom God has placed over us, we set ourselves in opposition to God. Literally, God will stiff arm. That's the idea. He will stiff arm us. And God's right hand is pretty powerful, by the way. God hates pride. Proverbs chapter 6, 16 and 17. Pride turned Lucifer, a beautiful angel, into Satan. Isaiah 14. And the pride of life is the essence of worldliness. You think of the three basic elements that make up this world's system and way of thinking and operating. The pride of life. Think about this. There are many people who would never think, many Christians who would never think about getting inked up with tattoos, drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, listening to rock music, and yet they are in the truest sense worldly because of their proud rebellion against authority. It's the pride of life. God says, "You do that, and I'm opposed to you." God resisteth the proud. Psalm 138, 6, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." Proverbs 3, 34, which is really where Peter's quoting, "Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly." James said, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." So there's reason to put on humility and submit ourselves, because if we don't, we're setting ourselves up against God. But there's a positive side to this as well. If we do clothe ourselves in humility, submit to those over us, it says this, God giveth grace. He gives grace to the humble. God will give us his enabling. That's implied in grace. We will have God's favor. And we also open the door then for the Lord to lift us up. The idea of humbling and submitting ourselves is like going low, sinking to the low place. God says, you put on humility and you go to the low place. God resisted the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." As we put on humility and submit ourselves, the Lord will in due time exalt or lift us up by his mighty hand. Some take the words "in due time" to be a reference to Christ's return, when he will return in glory, and those who have lived their lives submitted to him, obedient to him, he will raise them up, he will exalt them in glory. They'll share in his glory. But really the more immediate application of this truth is that even now, if we submit to those over us, God will lift us up. We don't have to be self-promoters, but God is able by his mighty hand to lift us up. Joseph is a good example of this in Scripture. You find Joseph very submissive in all these different relationships. He first of all submitted himself to his father. Joseph's father says, "Hey, Joseph, I want you to go and check on your brothers. Here am I." He submits to his father, even though he knew it meant trouble. He submitted to Potiphar. He submitted to Pharaoh. But God was with him. And in each and every one of those situations, Joseph rose like cream to the top. God exalted him in due time. Isaiah 57, 15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a humble, contrite and humble spirit, to revive the heart of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Jesus said, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And again, Jesus Christ is our perfect example. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that all should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the perfect example. Jesus humbled himself and he was exalted, and we're called to follow in our Lord's steps, to humble ourselves, to submit ourselves, and God will, in due time, lift us up. Finally, tonight, there's the casting in submission. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you note in our English Bible, verses 6 and 7 are all, again, it's one sentence. We have a verse, you know, verses 6 and 7, but it's one complete thought. And it all is joined together. It all works together. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In other words, we will be able to willingly submit with a humble mind as we understand that the Lord cares for us. Now think with me, many rebel against those over them because they fear that if they submit, they will be, quote, held under the thumb or trodden under by those over them. And that may at times take place, but God cares for us. And we can trust him in any situation, even as it was for these believers, even in times of fiery trials. Also, it takes humility to cast our cares upon the Lord. As we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, then we're able to cast our cares upon him. It takes humility to recognize that we can't handle our burdens alone. It takes humility to say, God, I can't. You take it, Lord. I'm weak. You're strong. I give it to you. That takes humility. It also takes faith. It shows that we trust God's care. That, God, I believe your hand really is mighty. That you can handle this. And I'm just going to cast my care upon you. Anxiety, care, and worry, or worry, are evidences really of pride and unbelief. We worry about things because we think we've got to take care of it. We worry and we're anxious and we have cares because we don't necessarily believe that God can take care of it. So we must, as the word indicates here, once and for all, cast our cares upon the Lord. And that's it. It's an act of faith. And this is the idea of the word. It's just, as you do this, humble yourself and just give your cares to the Lord. God cares for us, and we can trust him to take care of us. You see this back in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where you have wives called to submit themselves to their husbands. He says, "For after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves." What did they adorn themselves with? Well, it wasn't the outward adorning, not this type of thing. "Being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." In other words, maybe there's a wife who has an unbelieving husband, and that's in that context, that's exactly what's going on. It's wives trying to win their husbands to the Lord, not with their words, but by their lives. And the key to that is submission. And Peter says, look, you'll be able to submit yourself to your husband, and you'll have to do a lot better job of winning him to the Lord as you trust God. You just submit. And this is, again, this fits in all of our relationships. As we trust God, we don't take the cares upon ourselves. we're not afraid, then we can submit ourselves. Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's a wonderful verse. Charles Spurgeon, in his morning and evening devotional, gave this entry on January 6th. I just read it the other day. He said, it is a happy way of soothing sorrow when we can feel he cares for me. Christian, do not dishonor your faith by always wearing a brow of care. Come, cast your burden on the Lord, on your Lord. You are staggering beneath a weight which your father would not feel. What seems to you a crushing burden would be to him only as the small dust of the balance. O child of suffering, be patient. God has not passed you by in his providence. Do not sit down in despair. Hope on. Hope always. Take up the arms of faith against the sea of trouble, and your opposition shall end your distresses. There is one who cares for you. His eyes fixed on you, his heart beats with pity for your woe, and his omnipotent hand shall yet bring you the needed help. If you are one of his family, he will bind up your wounds and heal your broken heart. Do not doubt his grace because of your tribulation, but believe that he loves you as much in seasons of trouble as in times of happiness. What a serene and quiet life we might lead if you would leave providing to the God of providence. If God cares for you, why do you need to care too? Can you trust him for your soul and not for your body? He has never refused to bear your burdens. He has never fainted under their weight. Come then, soul, stop your fretful care and leave all your concerns in the hand of a gracious God. As sheep in God's pasture, let's trust in his care. Let's clothe ourselves in humility, and let's submit to God's will. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to spend this time in your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you do care for us. Thank you that you have a mighty hand that you employ for the help of your people. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to clothe ourselves in humility, to cast our cares on you, Lord, and to live just as a sheep, a happy, contented sheep in your pasture, trusting you to provide for every need, to give direction for every decision. Thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd and that you do meet every need that we have. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question first of all. Are you one of Jesus' sheep? Have you heard his voice, turned to him, and received his gift of eternal life? Or maybe this makes better sense. Have you humbled yourself as a sinner and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save you from sin? So we recognize that we can't save ourselves, and we just in simple faith call out to him. He'll save us. He'll lift us up out of our sins. How many tonight would say, preacher, there was a specific point in my life where I did hear the shepherd's voice and I've come to him. He's my shepherd. I'm his sheep. There was that time in my life where I saw that I was a lost sinner, couldn't save myself. And tonight I'm trusting in Jesus Christ alone to save me from my sin. If you can give that testimony tonight, would you do that by just quietly raising your hand straight into the air? You'd say, I'm trusting in Jesus tonight. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down if you're here and say, I really don't have that assurance. You can have that assurance tonight. And if you're here, you've never trusted Christ, I would invite you right now to just open your heart and receive him. Would there be anyone that would say, preacher, I want to do that. And as best as I know how, right here and right now, I'm saying, Lord Jesus, please come into my life and save me from my sin. Is there anyone tonight, you'd raise your hand, you'd say, yes, that's the decision I'm making tonight, to trust Christ. You just raise your hand quietly and put it right back down. Anyone? All right, Christian, are you following the Good Shepherd by submitting to those whom he's placed over you? Whatever relationships, work relationships, all these different things, are you dressing yourself in humility? Are you clothed in humility? Are you trusting God to lift you up? Have you cast your cares upon the Lord? You know, that encouragement goes beyond just in relationships where we're called to submit. This world has so many cares. Have you cast your cares upon the Lord? Whatever it may be. Maybe that's the Lord's word of encouragement to you tonight. Just cast your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Lord, thank You for speaking to our hearts. Pray that these words from Your word tonight would be a help to us, encouragement, strength to us in the days ahead. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.